You're listening to KTOO. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Lane, filling in for Yvonne Crumery. Two Chilcat robes, one very old, one not yet on the loom, will soon belong to a Tlingit clan as they work to rebuild their clan house in Sitka. KTOO's Yvonne Crumery has more.
In the last year, California sculptor Bruce Beasley started to think about how he can repatriate his collection of indigenous art to the people who made it.
I'm going to be 87 in a month, and I was afraid that if I didn't get this done myself, that when my family took over the house, they would just give it to the local museum. And I didn't think that was the best thing to do.
Nick Klein is a partner at Alaska Premier Auctions and Appraisals. Beasley first reached out to him about a narwhal tusk in his possession. But as Klein describes it, their conversations turned to other items he owned.
And it really got the gears turning in my head is, what else might Bruce have in his collection? So we started poking and prodding a little bit. And a week or two later, he sent over a picture of this gorgeous robe.
The robe is dated to the 1890s. Beasley got it in 1967 when he traded one of his sculptures for it. It's been in his home since. He told Klein he wanted to donate the robe, and Klein thought of Kiksati clan member Jarek Hope Lang, who's been working to rebuild his clan house.
I think that would be a perfect fit on account of his clan is somebody who's actually going to use the robe in ceremonies and see it brought back to life for the people, as opposed to having it go and wither in a collection that may or may not ever be seen again.
Hope Lang has been fundraising to rebuild the Point House clan house in Sitka. He says the robe's design, a diving whale, is common and not associated with specific clans. In Kiksati possession, the robe will be danced and brought up for ceremonies, he says.
Things were created for purpose. And what this does is it places purpose right in the purpose it was designed for and used for. So we're excited about the opportunity to display it and have it back and be stewards of it and take care of it.
And this robe's return to Southeast Alaska coincides with the creation of another robe. The book Anushi Tlingit Anika, Russians in Tlingit America, outlines a significant period in Kiksati history. On its cover is an illustration of a robe that doesn't exist. The weaver who designed the robe for the cover is Clarissa Rizal, who died in 2016. Hope Lang has been working with that weaver's daughter, Kadusne Ursula Hudson, to bring it to life.
We need the past and we need the present. How do you merge those two together? And there are questions that we're going to find in community and we're going to continue to create.
He envisions the two robes, old and new, standing together in Kiksati ceremonies. Hudson is the weaver on this project. She says robes are more than just material objects.
We know that these belongings are our relatives. They're our ancestors.
While the process of bringing the diving whale robe back to Southeast Alaska is repatriation, the practice of creating new robes is rematriation, she says.
Rematriation is the return of ways of being and not just the return of belongings. And it's the return of ways of relating to one another and with the land and with each other, with other clans, with other nations, and with ourselves. And so it goes beyond just getting our material culture back. And yeah, both are absolutely necessary.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
The diving whale robe arrived in Sitka earlier this week and will be brought out and danced at the Pink Martini Point House fundraiser in Sitka and Juneau this week, and Hope Lang hopes to bring it to celebration in June as well. And the Juneau Assembly voted Monday night at a committee meeting to delay the planned summer demolition of the downtown Telephone Hill neighborhood until the city receives more information from prospective developers. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the move doesn't stop the project, but it will likely delay the demolition by at least a few months, if not longer.
The Juneau Assembly is becoming increasingly divided on what to do with the city-owned Telephone Hill property. The property is in a prime location in downtown Juneau, and the Assembly has spent the past few years planning and debating how to best use the property to serve the community after the state transferred the land to the city 3 years ago. Last year, the Assembly landed on a controversial plan to spend millions of dollars to demolish the existing houses on the hill and redevelop the area into much denser housing to address Juneau's housing crisis. But at a committee of the whole meeting on Monday night, the Assembly re-examined that plan and considered a new idea for the Hill proposed by Mayor Beth Weldon.
My main reason for doing this is just the public outcry not to spend any more money on Telephone Hill.
Weldon proposed ditching the current plan and instead splitting up the Hill into segments and selling most of the lots as is. Her justification was that she thinks the Assembly is spending too much time and money on the project and needs to focus on other more pressing issues.
I want to make it quite clear, I'm not doing anything with the houses. That is not my intent to save the houses. My intent is to get this off of the plate. I don't care if the houses are demolished. Hate to say that.
The Assembly ultimately shot down Weldon's proposed ordinance in a narrow 5-4 vote. But that wasn't the last motion of the night. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith suggested a different idea that asked the city to hold off on demolition until it received the results from a request for qualifications from developers. A request for qualifications, or RFQ, would ask prospective developers what their qualifications are to take on the project, along with their work history and track record.
I think this is just a slight change in the project. I don't think of it as a stop or anything like that.
The city was already planning on issuing one, but it would have run parallel to the demolition plan rather than finishing up beforehand. Assemblymember Neil Steininger supported the motion, saying it's in the community's best interest to get that information before demolition.
Then it has the added benefit of providing an opportunity to the people who have been pretty vocal coming in to say that they think there's a different plan and a different vision that might look better for Juneau.
The neighborhood was on track to be demolished this summer. But at the meeting, City Manager Katie Kester says waiting for the results of the RFQ will likely take much longer than that timeline.
The document will take a couple of months to draft, and then we recommend at least 90 days on the street just because it's a complex project, which would put issuing the RFQ to developers in July and award sometime in October.
Some assembly members were not on board with the delay. Assemblymember Christine Wall said she is committed to the redevelopment project.
I've heard some people say don't need housing. We have hundreds of people on the street. We have hundreds of Coast Guard families coming, and we have thousands of homes in the valley right now that are in danger of not being habitable. I think it is an excellent use of resources.
The Assembly ultimately approved the delay in a 5-4 vote. The timing of the delay also coincides with a civil lawsuit, which former tenants of The Hill filed against the city last fall. The lawsuit aims to stop demolition and preserve the neighborhood. It's currently scheduled for a jury trial in August. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And in other news, President Donald Trump on Friday called on Alaska voters to repeal ranked choice voting at the November election. According to reporting by the Alaska Beacon, in a post on social media platform Truth Social, Trump wrote, quote, "The wonderful people of Alaska desperately want to restore free, fair, and honest elections in their great state and get rid of their disastrous and very fraudulent ranked choice voting," end quote. An effort to repeal ranked choice voting in 2024 failed by just 737 votes. A separate repeal initiative, sponsored by figures aligned with the Alaska Republican Party, is set to appear on the 2026 general election ballot. Trump gave his complete and total support to supporters of the repeal effort, including U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan and Congressman Nick Begich. Both are Alaska Republicans running for re-election in November. The president's post was seized on by Republican candidates for Alaska statewide office who echoed his calls to strike down the voting system. Alaska voters narrowly approved a ballot measure in 2020 that implemented ranked choice voting for state and congressional elections alongside open primary elections and tougher campaign finance disclosure requirements. Ranked choice voting in Alaska lets voters pick candidates in order of preference rather than choosing just one. If no candidate wins a majority of first choice votes, the lowest ranked candidate is eliminated and those votes are redistributed until someone surpasses 50% of votes. However, the new election system has been controversial. Opponents argue that ranked choice voting is unnecessarily complicated, while supporters say it has led to more moderate and consensus candidates elected. Ranked choice voting, open primaries, and the tougher campaign finance disclosure requirements would all be struck down if the 2026 ballot measure is approved by a majority of voters. President Donald Trump on Friday called on Alaska voters to repeal ranked choice voting at the November election. According to reporting by the Alaska Beacon, in a post on social media platform Truth Social, Trump wrote, quote, "The wonderful people of Alaska desperately want to restore free, fair, and honest elections in their great state and get rid of their disastrous and very fraudulent ranked choice voting," end quote. An effort to repeal ranked choice voting in 2024 failed by just 737 votes. A separate repeal initiative, sponsored by figures aligned with the Alaska Republican Party, is set to appear on the 2026 general election ballot. Trump gave his complete and total support to supporters of the repeal effort, including U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan and Congressman Nick Begich. Both are Alaska Republicans running for re-election in November. The president's post was seized on by Republican candidates for Alaska statewide office who echoed his calls to strike down the voting system. Alaska voters narrowly approved a ballot measure in 2020 that implemented ranked choice voting for state and congressional elections alongside open primary elections and tougher campaign finance disclosure requirements. Ranked choice voting in Alaska lets voters pick candidates in order of preference rather than choosing just one. If no candidate wins a majority of first choice votes, the lowest ranked candidate is eliminated, and those votes are redistributed until someone surpasses 50% of votes. However, the new election system has been controversial. Opponents argue that ranked choice voting is unnecessarily complicated, while supporters say it has led to more moderate and consensus candidates elected. Ranked choice voting, open primaries, and the tougher campaign finance disclosure requirements would all be struck down if the 2026 ballot measure is approved by a majority of voters. That's news for now. From KTOO, I'm Mike Lane.